Father, I thank you for this incredible word you've given us that is ancient and true and that alone changes us. Father, truly bring us before you this morning in this time as we submit ourselves to you. Come and do the work you long to do in us and through us. Come, Holy Spirit, shake us up, wake us up to the lies we've been believing. Open our eyes to show us where we have found ourselves assimilating into this culture. Lord, come, Holy Spirit, break us apart to truly be a holy people who are set apart for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. Well, we're just about at that place where we're wrapping up our book of Judges, and some of you may be going, right? Two more Sundays, this Sunday and next. We've been looking at the book of Judges with that title, What Does It Look Like for Followers of Jesus to Live by Faith in a Pluralistic Society? Last week, we looked at the judge Jephthah. And as we looked at him, I mentioned that I think his story is probably one of the most shocking stories in the book of Judges. It was about a man who had found himself slowly drifting away from the truth of God's word into the cultural values and norms of the society in which he lived. And what we have to understand is, as we find ourselves, too, who begin to drift, what happens is, as we begin to drift, we all of a sudden find ourselves assimilating into the culture itself. We were up at Fayetteville this past weekend for the game, and our daughter, Ann Claire, who's a freshman there, was telling us about a good friend of hers that she was thinking about rooming with next year, and she's not now because this girl who had grown up in a Christian family, strong in her faith in high school, goes to U of A, begins to find herself drifting, right? Meets a guy, they start dating, and all of a sudden they're looking for apartments to move into together. It's not uncommon. It's a reality. We see it all the time. You and I need to wake up to that reality, right? While we may not be in that place, all of us need to look and see, where have I been drifting? Where am I beginning to not just kind of rub shoulders with the values of the culture, but where am I finding myself assimilating with the culture? Where am I finding myself buying in lock, stock, and barrel? It's one of the things we're going to look at this morning. This morning, we're looking at the final judge, Samson. He's a man who had been set apart by God to be used to save the Israelites from the hand of the Philistines. Now, I would say Samson, if you read chapters 13 through 16 in the book of Judges, you'll get a clear picture of his life. I'm going to give a summary of it this morning. He wasn't a man who was drifting along into the culture. He dove right in. I mean, and you'll see it in a few minutes. He was someone who said, here we are, let's just go in and have it all. But what's so fascinating to me, or surprising maybe to you, about this story is Samson is he is the most flawed judge of all the 12. And we've looked at a lot of the judges, and if you remember, they're all flawed. We're all flawed. But Samson is the most flawed of all. But what's surprising is God, in his grace, uses this man's life. He fills him with his Holy Spirit to lead the people, to break them from that bond that they had found themselves in with the Philistines. I didn't know it as I was preparing this sermon series, but isn't it God in his providence that he'd have us look at Samson on All Saints Sunday? It's All Saints Sunday. That's why we're wearing white, recognizing the saints, those godly men and women who have gone before us. And we recognize them this morning, not because of their greatness, though many of them have done tremendous things for God's kingdom. We recognize those great saints of old who've gone before us because of the greatness of their God. It's not so much what they did. We recognize them because of the greatness of God using flawed men and women for his kingdom. And that's exactly what he's doing with us today. So let me set the stage as we unpack Samson's life. So an angel of the Lord came to the wife of Manoah, who had had no children, and she was told that she would have a son and that he would be a Nazarite. Now, this is important. because her son from birth would be set apart for the Lord. And a Nazarite was one who would take a vow that would say they would not cut their hair, they would not drink wine, and they would not touch a dead animal. And the importance of this vow was that those people, those men who were set aside for this holy work of the Lord, would do so by seeking the Lord in a special way, by being people who relied on God's strength and not their own. So that's where we find ourselves in this scene, and we have to understand where the Israelites are now. Now they had been, the Philistines had taken them over, and it was a very, very dark night for the Israelites at this point in their history. You remember the cycle of judges that we've been looking at over the weeks? What we find is they rebel against God, right? They're oppressed by another nation. They cry out for help and they repent, and God sends them a judge, a deliverer, to save them out of the hand of the invading nation. That's what we find. Well, the scene before us this morning is a little different. The Philistines had come upon them and oppressed them, but we don't hear the Israelites crying out. Do you know why? Because instead of crying out, they found themselves happily assimilating into the culture. They found themselves happily assimilating into the pagan culture of the Philistines, and so they didn't find the need to cry out to God. You know, the Philistines, I think, oppressed them in a different way. They let them still live, but the Israelites loved what the culture offered. They became in love with the gods and the idols of the culture. And what God was wanting to do with Samson was to use him to literally break the Israelites apart, to break them out of being so assimilated into that culture. So that's how God was going to use this man. But before we look at how God uses a flawed man to save his people, I don't want us to miss something very important here. It's God's faithfulness to save. I want you to hear that. God's faithfulness to save. You see, even though the Israelites never cried out in this scene for God to help them and deliver them, God still knew they needed help, and God came to deliver and rescue them. Now, I don't know how that lands on you, but that's God in his mercy and grace to you and me. Even when we don't cry out, even when we don't see our sin, guess what? God is a God who pursues his people. God will never stop pursuing us. He didn't stop pursuing them, yet in the midst of their total depravity, God longed to rescue them. Isn't that what the book of Judges is all about? God in his grace coming to rescue a broken, flawed, rebellious people. And we don't just find that in the book of Judges. That's what God's word from beginning to end is all about, isn't it, friends? It's about God coming to rescue a broken, flawed, rebellious people, you and me. I think it's a message that you and I need to hear this morning. Know this, that God in his absolute love for you, I want you to hear that, God in his absolute love for you will go to whatever extremes necessary to free you from where you have locked arms, where you have assimilated into the culture. He's going to pursue us. He can't help but pursue his people because he loves us that much. Do you realize that God's pursuing you right now? I think a lot of times we miss his pursuit. But friends, God is pursuing us all the time out of his love. I would say this morning for some of you, God's pursuing you right now to lead you to that place of repentance. To hear him show you where you have so aligned with the values of this culture, where you have so distanced yourself from his holiness. God's longing to pursue you, to call you to repentance, to find his mercy and grace as a result. And I would say in a room this size this morning, as I look out, I'm sure that God is longing to pursue some of you to come to saving faith in him this morning. God is a pursuing God. He pursues us. So don't run from his pursuit. But I can tell you this, if he is pursuing you and you run, he's going to grab hold of your heart because he loves you that much. He's like that hound of heaven who will never stop pursuing his people. That's who God is. Let me say this for some of you in this room this morning. For some of you, you have sons and daughters who've wandered away from the faith. I want you to know this. God will never stop pursuing them. They are His. And if they are His, He will never let them go. He may let them wander for a time, and it may be a long time, but God is faithful, and He will pursue His children. And so I want you to know that this morning. God saves, and He never stops pursuing us, even when we're not calling out for Him. He grabbed hold of the Israelites, and He will grab hold of us. He will grab hold of your sons and your daughters. So what I want to encourage you to do is be faithful in prayer. Remind God who He is. Remind Him of His promise. Be faithful in prayer. But also ask God, how do you want to use me? As flawed as I am, God, how do you want to use me in the life of my kids or other family members or friends that I know who've wandered from the faith? Don't write them off. God never does. Ask Him how He wants to use you. That's what we find in this story. God used a flawed man to save His people. And here's what we find. I'm going to read verses 1 through 4 again from Judges 14. And in this section, you see how flawed Samson really was. Here's what we read again. Samson went down to Timnah, and at Timnah he saw one of the daughters of the Philistines. Then he came up and told his father and mother, "I saw one of the daughters of the Philistines at Timnah. Now get her for me as my wife." But his father and mother said to him, "Is there not a woman among the daughters of your relatives or among all our people that you must go and take a wife from the uncircumcised Philistines?" Samson said to his father, "Get her for me, for she is right in my eyes." That's so often how we live, is it not? We pursue what is right in our eyes, and we don't think about what is right in God's eyes. But God still used this man, you see. And it's interesting, if you read the next verse, verse 4, we read, "And his father and his mother did not know that it was from the Lord, for he was seeking an opportunity against the Philistines. At that time, the Philistines ruled over Israel." God knew, and God so, in His grace, chose to use this broken, flawed, sinful man to bring His people, to set His people free. In this scene, what we saw is how impulsive Samson was, right? Get her, I want her, don't stop me. We see his lack of self-control, his lack of honor for his parents. He didn't care what they thought. He didn't care what God thought. He was only doing what was right in his own eyes. Now, what's interesting is God is using this man, Samson, a man who represented all of Israel at that time. Because what was true of Samson could be said of true of all of the Israelites. They were impulsive. They lacked self-control. They didn't honor authority, right? They did what was right in their own eyes. How interesting that God would use one of them to free His people from slavery and bondage from that culture. But you see, He didn't just set His eyes on one woman. There were a lot of women that He saw. Later on in one of the chapters, we read that He came across a prostitute and ran after her. And then later, He takes Delilah. And then through Delilah, we see His ultimate downfall. What's so interesting is, in spite of all of this, we read in those chapters that God's Spirit continued to fill Samson. Do you see that? In spite of him being this flawed, broken man, God's Spirit still came upon him. We read at one place that he tore a lion to shreds with his two hands. Now, I don't know. There's some strong people in this room. But I don't know anybody in this room who could, a lion coming after them, could stop it and tear it apart with his own hands. That's the power of the Spirit of God that came upon him. Later on, he killed 1,000 Philistines with one jawbone. There's another time that he goes to a city and takes its gates in anger and takes its gates off its hinges and carries them 40 miles. This man had incredible strength, but it wasn't his strength, you see. It was God's strength, because every time it said the Spirit of God came upon him and strengthened him. You ever wonder, why would God use such a flawed man? Why would God use such a flawed man to save His people? Do you know why? To show that it wasn't Samson's strength, but the Lord's. Do you see in all of it, it's all about God. It's all about His strength, His power, His glory. You know, it's easy for us to read a story like Samson or any of the other judges and think it's all about them, but it's not. What God is showing us here, that He alone saves. And that's what we have to remember. Now, it's interesting. I don't know if you find yourself in this place. I did the other day. It's that Pharisee in all of us that comes out and that cries foul, right? God, how could you use someone who's so flawed? Who's such a womanizer? How could you use somebody like that? It's not right, right? We think, God, you've got to use good people. You've got to use me. I'm being faithful, right? I'm trying to honor you with your word. Why wouldn't you use me? And all of a sudden, we find ourselves often putting God in a box that He has to work on our terms. And our terms, in that Pharisaic way, thinks He can only use good people. But if you know the reality, there are none, right? We're all flawed. And it's God in His grace chooses to use flawed people to save His people. David Jackman, who wrote a commentary on Judges, describes how Judges shoots a hole through all of that thinking. He writes, "It's above all a book about grace, undeserved mercy, as the whole Bible is." And it said it's not to play down the theological accuracy or to pretend that it doesn't matter how we behave. It does matter how we live. We still suffer for our sins. But we can rejoice that He is also in the business of using our failures as the foundations for His success. And every one of us in this room ought to say amen to that. That God is in the business of using our failures for His success. God longs to use broken, flawed people like you and me to bring salvation, to bring His glory to those around. You see, we're part of God's larger story, aren't we? And God is using us as instruments in His hands to show the Father's love. That's what He longs to do. Now, let me say this. It does matter how we live our lives. You know, for anybody to say, well, it's fine that I live a flawed life and I'm just going to do it, that's an offense to God. It does matter how we live our lives. But we have to understand this. God in His mercy fills His children with His Spirit. If you're a follower of Jesus, He has filled you with His Holy Spirit. You've been given spiritual gifts. All of His children have, to be used for Him. Now, I know this well. Some of you, He's given the gift of teaching. Others, prophecy, healing. The list goes on and on. Whatever gift God's given you or gifts He's given you, He wants us to use for His glory. But I do know this. Sometimes we get so used to those gifts and we see success and that we pay no attention to the recklessness of our own lives. You see that? Sometimes we can get so carried away that God's gifted us and we see these incredible gifts and we use them, but we fail to see the recklessness of our own lives. That's what happened with Samson. You see, God not only fills us with His Spirit, He longs that we be people who live out of the gifts of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit. Not just that we're people of the gifts of the Spirit, but that the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, and self-control would identify our lives. So it matters how you and I live our lives. But what we see, in the midst of it, God longs to still use us. So in spite of the brokenness of Samson, God never left him. And you know, you and I need to hear that this morning, don't we? In spite of our own brokenness, wherever you are, whatever you've done, you know, in Christ we can know for certain that God will never leave us or forsake us. That's the kind of God He is. That's the promise that He gives to you and me. I will never leave you or forsake you. And we see this carried out in the life of Samson. Samson and all of his shenanigans, what we ultimately see is he could not break the Israelites free. Over and over and over, they still were captive until one thing. It was only through his death that the Israelites begin to break free. Here's the scene. Samson, in his recklessness with Delilah, divulges where his strength was. His strength came from his hair. It had never been cut before. And so what she does is she gives word to the Philistines, cut his hair, and he'll lose his strength. So they come up, and they bind him, and they cut off his hair, and he loses all of his strength. They put him in prison. They pluck out his eyes. This man, his life is an absolute wreck now. He's in prison, been in prison for a long time. One evening, the lords of the Philistines had gathered in a house, and they wanted someone to come do a show for them, entertain them. So they called for Samson. Samson's hair, while he had been in prison, had grown back out. Samson comes into the room. Samson couldn't see this weak, broken man. And he says, "Set me in between the two pillars." Now, not only was the house filled with all the Philistine lords, there were 3,000 Philistines on the roof. Samson prays one more time to God in these words, "O Lord God, please remember me and please strengthen me only this once, O God, that I may avenge on the Philistines from my two eyes." In the scene, he stretches out his arms across on those pillars and he pushes them with the incredible strength and power of the Lord. The pillars crumble. The roof falls. Samson is killed. All of the Philistines in there and on top, over 3,000, were killed that day. God, in his grace, used a man's death to begin to break them free from being enslaved under the reign of the Philistines. You see where I'm going with this. Samson is the greater, Jesus is the greater Samson, you see? You see, what we find is this. Samson's sin led to his own death, which God used to deliver his people. But in a greater way, our sin led to the death of our Savior, the greater Samson. And through his death, you know what? You and I are rescued. We are pulled away from our union with this culture, with the world. We're pulled away. We're set free. And what God does in that act on the cross is he makes a flawed people his saints. Praise God that he's in the business of making flawed people his saints. Friends, with incredible gratitude that we would be people who live our lives empowered by the Holy Spirit, wholly set apart for the Lord, showing this world it's not our power, it's not our strength that saves, it's the Lord's strength that saves. And as you and I go out there empowered by His Spirit on mission for the Lord, that's exactly what we find. God longing to use flawed saints to save the lost. So friends, may we be about that. May we become more of a people who live surrendered to the Lord, recognizing where we're so accustomed to align ourselves with the world, be people of repentance, and allow the Lord in His incredible strength to use us to set this city, to set this town on fire for the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we pray this in your glorious name. Amen.